Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Caroline, you should tell them about the newest thing that Bloody Happy Hour is doing.
A Patreon.
It's a Patreon. What is that?
That means you're basically like a VIP member, and there's two different levels that you can, you know, subscribe to, and you get some perks. You maybe get like merch a little earlier. You get
exclusive merch.
You could get first dibs on signing up for a live show. You get episodes with no commercials.
You get our video because our video is no longer available on YouTube. It is only on Patreon. And the most important to me is you get videos of our live shows. So if you are far away and you couldn't make our last live show, it will be on the website. We're going to record this future live show. It's going to be on Patreon, but also bonus episodes each month. You guys tell us all the time you want more episodes. This is a way for you to get more episodes. So you're going to get our basic Tuesday, Thursdays that we always put out, right? But if you're on a Patreon, you're VIP, you're going to get more.
I can't wait to talk about in detail some more stories because I always have a lot of details I want to go to. I can law-splain. I might read a book.
They just unsubscribed. This is also going to be the exclusive place that Dirty Chat is going to go to. So if that is breaking some of your hearts, just go ahead and subscribe now. In order to hear the full content, it's going to be Patreon. Where do they go again?
Patreon.com/bloodyhappyhour.
Don't forget to
stay aware,
stay alive,
and always be DTF.
Hey y'all, I'm April.
And I'm Caroline.
And this is your Bloody Happy Hour. Caroline, are you ready for this?
This is your newest guilty pleasure.
It's the bloodiest part of your week.
Did we say something about it also being happy hour?
Show did.
Because we're about to be sipping on some murder. Bloody happy hour. Not today.
Okay. Hey, y'all, this is April.
And this is Caroline.
This be your buddy bloody happy hour.
It's bloody, and you know what? Let me tell you what really was the bloodiest. It was my week last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you can never be too safe when you're sweeping.
Only you.
I mean, who actually is sweeping? The broom breaks. You slice your finger. And
damn,
you gotta go
half
to Premier ER and get 2 to 3 stitches. The only reason I didn't get 3 is because it's the cut is the laceration is like a candy cane shape. Mm-hmm. So the top part of the candy cane, it was too weird of a shape that they couldn't put a stitch in it.
So it was just open?
Yeah, there's some tissue coming out.
She was so bloody.
I was so bloody. And then I was at Shorty's, and my friend called, and she was talking to, she was at a birthday party, and she was talking to this or okay, at this new not a new restaurant, at this bar downtown, they have this drink that where it's has like you can put Delta 9 in it. So she was talking about that and she was like, "Oh, my friend, I have a friend who had a dog that ate some Delta 9 whatever." And somebody overheard her saying that and was like, "Are you talking about bloody happy hour?"
Oh my goodness.
And the girl, and then they called me and the girl was like, "Oh my God." Oh, shout out to Leslie because Leslie? She is one of our biggest fans.
The fan. Shout
and
out, Leslie.
She loved it. She's like, "I love you. Oh my God. Don't think I'm crazy, but oh my gosh, I love you. And I love this story. I love April. Oh my gosh." And
oh
it was
my goodness.
So funny. Because I could barely hear it because I was out. I mean, it was during the day, but and she was out and it was wild. And I was like, "What? Oh my God, this is crazy!" So that made my weekend better.
Love it. I know.
After I had my finger cast.
Well, things like that makes us want to go at least another week.
Yeah. So then I was like, "Okay, well, do it. I'll keep doing it."
Yeah.
Because you really like it.
At least another week.
That was so nice. And that was, you know, it's always, you know, cool.
Love it. And now your most important finger on your hand. You can't use it for a while.
But it matches my nails. I just got my nails done the day before I got my finger cast. And, I mean.
So it's functional. It makes sense.
Yeah, I just can't get it wet. So it's I just have to do everything with my left hand, which is very odd. Like, well, I don't have
I can't picture that. Like, or I want to picture that.
Meaning I just have to wash my hair and my face. I don't have to do any other extracurricular activities because, you know, we no longer have Pornhub, so. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. Not really. I mean, we don't because it's banned in Texas now, so.
Go listen to our quickie if you've missed
go
that
part. Go listen
to
the quickie and we'll tell you all about the No More Pornhub. Yeah. And, yeah, that's what we do here. We talk about all the things.
Inappropriate things.
And it's inappropriate. And if you're offended, just change the channel.
And write us a review and tell us why you're offended because
yeah,
we like reading those too.
We like to read those. Can we read the latest one that was people? Oh, did we read it?
We did not read it.
I really liked it, and I think we should read it just to give the cat lady some props. But
she did that to really aggravate us too. What do we look on?
Oh, yeah, no, we liked it. We liked the bad reviews, but I mean,
we love the good reviews. Actually,
we love the good reviews, but we're entertained by the bad ones.
So if you haven't already, we have a Patreon and we did a show, 2 weeks ago? Mini show. We didn't advertise it. It was for the Waco block party. That should be on there. I need to double check with Mike. That should be on there. And we put bonus episodes out there. And Caroline and I just discovered a drinking game that we're wanting to play that we're going to record and put on there. So it's a good way to have happy hour with us, you know, from your own home.
Yep.
And then if these episodes make you stress out, you should go to BetterHelp.com.
You should, because if you get a bad review on your podcast, you might need to have BetterHelp. And you can go to BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com/bloody. And you can get 10% off. All you have to do is go to the website and you can fill out a free questionnaire and it'll help you get matched with your licensed therapist. And if you're not happy with that therapist, or maybe they're not very engaged, maybe they're a great listener, but they're not very helpful or positive, then you can always switch to a different therapist. But it's all about you and your needs. And you just go to betterhelp.com/bloody and you get 10% off and you will feel better in a matter of minutes. You're welcome.
All right. Let's read. I'll read this one and then you can read the next one. So this is titled The Best Not Swinging Crime. And it's from at Eridora. My sister-in-law introduced me to your podcast over the summer. I was hooked from the beginning. I've been listening ever since. I never really followed true crime, although I did find it interesting. This podcast has it all. I love the touch of your personalities and all of the episodes. Because of y'all, I don't trust anyone, And while my husband thinks I'm crazy for giving everyone the steak eye, we are staying aware. Love it, love it, love it. And this is a 5-star review. Thank you so much, Eridora. Mm-hmm.
This is a right next to, right next to the 5-star is the 1-star. And it says, don't bother listening to the Selena episode. This is from Cat Cat Bobatbat. I feel like the name gives it away. But April and Carolyn were extremely disrespectful and hurtful towards the Quintella family.
Oh, that's why. Quintanilla.
I'm sorry. Listen. Listen. Actually, I'm offended by your review because you are.
That's not even why. Keep reading.
No, I feel like she's shaming me. And this is like it's one of the isms, a phobia. She has a pronunciation phobia. And so she's shaming me because I don't have an accent to where I can say these words properly. And I have a speech impediment. So eat that, cat, cat, bo, bat, bat. They were
except for that's not one of the reasons.
Oh, sorry. Quintanilla. They compared Abe to Joe Jackson. Okay. Well, I'm gonna give it a review during the review.
We did say without the abuse.
Reminded me of them because he was a bossy dad who was trying to control his kids and push them into singing. So then in that way, they are familiar or similar. Mm-hmm. So they compared Abe to Joe Jackson and called Suzette a snake because she was. The family has been through enough trauma and hurt to last a lifetime. Obviously, I know that. I'm appalled these women have never met the family yet throw stones and accusations at the family members. Shame on April and Caroline. I'm subscribing and would give negative stars if I could.
Negative stars.
Well, Cat Cat Bo Bat Bat, you cannot give negative stars. But you gave 1 star, and we appreciate at least one, and we appreciate the review.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that we really threw the family members under the bus. I was saying Suzette was a snake because she ratted out her sister. And that, to me, is a snake.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Okay, and then just one more to read. These girls are the realest. This is a 5-star. I was hooked from day one. These girls are literally covered all from the craziest serial killers, cults, abductions, and even swingers. They will keep wanting more. They keep us wanting more. The best part about it, they will reveal your red flags and make you an all-around better person. So pour a drink and gather all your swinger friends and tune in to Bloody Happy Hour. That is from J. Dixon81.
Did you not have any feelings or thoughts about the Cat Cat Bo Bat Bat?
Oh, she was pissed at us, so she was pissing me off.
Oh, okay.
Pissing us off and with the Cat Cat Bo Bat Bat.
I think she made that name just on purpose.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's probably like I have an announcement.
What's the announcement?
Do you remember my name? I talked about how I got turned in for my sprinklers being on last year. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And then how I was like, well, I'm assuming this is all.
Yeah.
Play the sound effect of the glitter. This is speculation, but I speculated that the across the street neighbor is the one who turned me in for my sprinklers coming on during the water ban that had just started like the day before. Didn't even know my sprinklers were on, and then they came on. The lady across the street, I thought she was going to turn me in because whenever she came to check her mail one day, she fell and she ended up having a concussion and being on the sidewalk. And anyways, the whole thing. This house is now up for sale.
Does she die?
I don't know, but I just know I saw the for sale sign yesterday, and I was like, this is why you should not be a Karen, because most likely she turned me in for my sprinklers, and look what happened now. Bitch is going into the family assistance or whatever, assisted care.
And you still don't know for sure if she's the one that tugged you in.
This is all a story in my head. I've created this whole story in my head, but it's this is my story and I'm sticking to it.
It's probably Ross.
Oh, listen, Ross the other day.
Ouch.
Not only, I think he was trying to show out. He comes across this. I'm sitting in my office. Blinds are always open because, you know, I like the vitamin D. Not that kind, but I do look. Anyway, he comes down the street. He's doing side shuffles, down, backpedaling, coming back.
Oh, he's working out.
Oh, he's always doing. Yeah, he's doing. He's, yeah. But I think he was trying to say hi. I'm pretty sure that was his way of saying hi. Because he went back and forth 3 times within like 30 minutes.
You should have joined him.
Well, I thought about it. And then I was like, no.
No.
Mm-mm.
Just it's not, stayed on your computer.
I'm not that interested.
Okay.
So anyway, there you go. And I hope you liked all the banter because we love it.
Where are we going?
Yes, oh,
where
Dan.
Are we at? H-Town.
Are you ready? Because this is a story from the show I Survived.
Oh, we haven't done one of those in a long time.
And if you can track down that episode, there was one.
Lawrence Singleton.
Yes.
Yes.
It was
probably one of the first five shows.
If you have not heard it, yes, that was like one of the very first ones I did.
Yeah.
It is wild. So go back, listen to the Lawrence Singleton episode. It's one of the first. It is phenomenal. And I think we were pretty funny too. Okay. So April 15th, 1995.
Okay.
So we're going back. Jennifer Morey, 25 years old, beautiful girl, or at least like when she was doing the show, she's like, just like put together and everything. So she went out with some friends for some drinks, stayed up a little late. She like didn't want to go up first, and then she ended up going, and then she's having a good time. She gets up, it's around midnight. Her friend drives her home, drops her off at her apartment complex in Houston. It's this complex called the Bayou Park. And she lived alone, but she chose this specific apartment complex because it was safe. There was this 8-foot-tall fence surrounding the place, and it had a on-duty security guard provided by Pinkton Security.
Okay.
Have you heard of them?
No.
Okay, apparently that name means a lot to security people.
Okay.
It's like a big deal. So they were like super secure, all the things. So she goes into the apartment, probably washes her face, you know, as everybody should when they get home from a night out. You need to wash your face. I'm just assuming she did. She turns the lights out. She goes to sleep. And then around 4 a.m., she wakes up, but somebody's on top of her.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no.
It's the security guard.
Yeah. Oh. A person is straddling her, and she can feel the hairy legs. So at first she's like, is this like a vivid dream? Like, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, am I, like you try to
yes.
wake up and you can see yourself, but then she's like, okay, is this like real? Like what's happening? And then all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, this is a man. And then she realizes this guy's trying to rape me.
Oh my goodness.
And
wait, how old is she?
25.
25.
And so she says that during her interview on the show, she says someone with their body weight pressing down and holding my body down and grabbing my underwear, trying to yank them off. I was very befuddled. I didn't know what was happening. So all she did was she reached her hands up. She tried to fight him off. And the first thing she did was she felt a knife and it was against her throat. So her adrenaline's pumping and she's like starting to scream and fight and kick and do everything and all the things that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And well, it turns out that like neighbors heard her, but like didn't do anything about it, which shitty neighbors. But so she starts her fighting back, starts like pissing him off. And so he actually like stabs her on the right of her face. And then how she described in the show was like above her eyebrow. And then it came down like over her nose and like down her other cheekbone. And she actually thought, I don't know how it like swirled around like that, but she actually thought he cut her eye out. And she says that the blood was pouring out and it felt like a hot waterfall.
Damn.
But she was DTF, determined to fight.
Okay.
Made that. You see how I did that? And she's like, okay, I have to stop. She's like, I cannot be raped. I cannot be killed. And she was like, fighting. And that is whenever he went for the throat. So she already has this cut on her face and she thinks her eyeball's cut out. He then takes the knife and from her other side cheekbone, it like cuts her cheekbone to the middle of her throat. So it slashes like half of her throat.
God dang it.
And it stops like right in the middle. But it's sliced open. So now she's like bleeding profusely from her neck, from her face. Then the attacker grabs her by the hair, drags her into the bathroom, says for her to stay there. I don't know what he had to do that was so important that he needed to drag her in the bathroom. But she then like, she's trying to like think fast and stay conscious. And so the bathroom did not have a lock. So she wedged herself. She like sat herself down on the floor and she put her back against the door and put her feet against the bathtub and just like used her legs to like keep the door closed. All the while she's bleeding out. Okay. And so she remains conscious. She's like still trying to figure out. She's like trying to listen to hear if he's still there. She hears him like rattling around, like moving things or knocking stuff over or whatever. And then she's still listening and she's like, okay, what am I going to do? And then finally she hears him zipping up a zipper, like zipping his zipper.
Okay.
And then she hears a door close and then it's silent. So, like, nothing. So he leaves. Okay. So she tries. Then she's like, okay, I don't hear anything. I need to get out. So she tries to open the door, but she's so bloody. She cannot get a grip on the handle. She's
slipping.
She cannot get a grip on the handle of the door. And so she finally ends up getting the door open, like, somehow, whatever. She gets the door open. And then all the lights are off. So she's crawling around. She's trying to turn the lights on. The power's been cut.
Oh.
She, at this point, is like landline phone. She goes to the landline phone. The phone line's been cut. And cell phones weren't like a big thing. It's 95.
No, it's 95.
And so I'm sure she's getting her like bag phone or whatever. I don't know what people had. What's that thing? A jitterbug? I don't know what a jitterbug is, but I heard about it on a podcast. I don't even know what a jitterbug is. But she ends up getting her cell phone and she's able to make a call.
Okay.
She calls 911. So luckily, she gets on the phone with 911. I'm going to play the call and then I'll go back and I'll tell you what they're saying because it's a little fuzzy, but we got to hear the call. You know how we do.
Please help me.
Okay.
It's like I'm trying to cut my throat.
Ma'am?
There's blood everywhere. I'm covered in blood. You know my name. I don't know who it was. I know I locked the door. I don't know how I got in my apartment.
Okay, ma'am. All right, calm down.
I don't know. Why would anybody
be so covered? I don't know. We have some crazy people in this world.
What's your name?
My name is Ricky.
I'm sorry, calm down.
There you go. You're doing fine right now.
He kept hanging on with me, and it was...
What happened?
There's blood everywhere. I'm covered in blood. You know my name. know who it was. I know I locked the door. I don't know how I got in my apartment.
Okay, man. All right, calm down. I know. I know, we have some crazy people in this world. But, you got no more to say on the line.
What's your name?
My name is Richard.
He kept hanging on with me, and it became a friend, someone I could trust on that phone. He was the only safety that I had. Probably about 15 minutes into this 911 call, there comes a pounding on my front door, and I tell the dispatcher, they're here. And he goes, I've got the Houston Fire and Police on my screen, and they're not there yet.
Oh, shoot. It's...
Don't answer the door right now.
Hello? It's security.
It's security?
What's your name?
Can you see out the little peephole?
I think got my contacts. I can't see anything.
The voice on the other side of the door was promising me help, but it was very insistent that I open this door. I relate this to my dispatcher, and he says, Jennifer, if you don't know who this is on the other side, do not open the door.
Oh my gosh, Richard, you're a hero.
Richard is a hero. Okay, so that was kind of hard to hear, and I kind of messed up. But she's like, please help me, please help me. This guy tried to cut my throat. He says, ma'am. She says, there's blood everywhere. I'm covered in blood. He knew my name. So he called her name during the attack and was like, shut up, Jennifer, you stupid bitch. Like, just, and she's like, oh, who is this guy? How does he know me? And she's like, I know I locked the door. I don't know how we got into the apartment. And the dispatch is like, okay, like, just try to calm down. And she's like, why would anybody do something like this? He's like, I don't know. We have some crazy people in this world, but I want you to stay on the line. And then she asks, what is your name? He says, Richard. She says, I'm sorry, I'm calming down. He's like, there you go. You're doing fine. And then it was 10 minutes into the call. Somebody starts knocking on the door, and the dispatcher, we'll call him 911 Richard, because that's his name. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, police aren't there yet. Like, I'm tracking them. And so just to be safe, don't open the door because you don't know. And she starts talking to the door guy and the person at the door. And he's like, oh, it's security. It's security. And he's like, what's your name? And the dispatcher is like, do you see anybody out the peephole? And all this stuff. And so then the guy, she was like, she starts to tell the person outside of the door, I'm on the phone with 911. And then the guy outside of the door is like, oh, it's okay. I'm just a security guard. And like, let me in. I can help you. Like, I see there's blood and I heard screaming. And I just like, do you need CPR? Because I can help. And you really need to let me in. Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no. And he's like, oh, it's okay. I have a badge. Like, okay, well, what are you going to slide it under? Like, what are you? Okay. He's like, oh, there's blood out here, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then he's like, 911 Richard is like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. I know you're scared. She's like, I'm so scared. She's like, I'm feeling faint. I'm getting lightheaded. I'm bleeding so much. I just want somebody to help. So, you know, you just don't ever know what you're going to do in this situation. It's awful. And he was like, look, just listen to the sound of my voice. 911 Richard is like, listen to the sound of my voice. And he's like, I'm watching the cops drive. They're driving up the street. They're 3 minutes away. Just hang on just for three more minutes. And then she's like, but the guy, the knocks kept getting louder and louder. And he was getting more insistent, like banging harder and harder. Wow. On the door. Like, let me in. And she's like, obviously freaking out. And then a few minutes later, she finally hears the 911 sirens. And 911 Richard confirms the police are there. They're here. They're there. You're good. The cops pull up to the apartment complex and they see this security guard. and it's 26-year-old Brian Gibson. He meets them out front, and he is a bloody mess. But he's a bloody mess. He's bleeding from his right hand. There's blood on his face. There's blood on his uniform. But he tells the police the story. He walked up. He sees a guy. And then the guy jumps down from her second story balcony and attacks him.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah. And then they get into this fight and this like scuffle, and the guy like runs off into like the woods or like the field nearby, and he didn't see where he went, but that's where he ran. It's like, he's gone. Like, yeah, it's like just like a ninja. It was like parkour stuff, I guess. And so then he said he had then went to check on the lady upstairs because the lady was freaking out. And so the cops are like, okay, well, you just stay here and we're going to go check everything out. You just stay here. And then they're like, it looks like, okay, so the attack happened around like 4 a.m., right? She woke up at 4 a.m. So by this time it's 6 a.m. and like the grass is all dewy. And typically you would be able to see if there was a footprint in like dewy grass. They don't see any tracks of anything, of any person running in any kind of grass or any kind of woods or nothing, nothing, and zero.
Security.
So at that point, when they see there's no trail, no footprints, nothing, they are like, let's detain this dude. So they detain him. They keep him. As soon as she opened her apartment door to let the firefighters, police in, she collapses and she's taken immediately to the hospital, which obviously she's going to live because it's called I Survived.
Yes.
So the police go into the apartment. They said there's blood everywhere. They find this Gibson guy. They find security guys. They find underwear. They find a belt. They find a glove. And they find a Pinkerton security hat.
Where?
Inside her apartment.
Oh, hell.
They find all, like, he left all this shit in there.
What?
Idiot. And they found the knife. What could he? I don't know what he's doing. So they pick up all of his shit and they go and they're like, Mr. Security Guard Gibson, I'm going to need you to take your shirt off. And he was like, no, I was actually attacked. I was attacked.
Oh, gosh.
And they're like, sir,
your hat's in there.
Take your damn shirt off. So he takes his shirt off. Claw marks all over his chest. Oh, because
she fought.
Yes. Claw marks all over his chest. And he is not wearing underwear, which is what they found.
Oh, because he left them there.
And remember I said she heard a zipper?
Zipper.
And he has shaved his pubic hair.
Oh, for DNA?
To not leave any behind.
Wow.
And he did not have a hat on because obviously he was the person that that was his hat that was in the apartment. And so this was obviously the person that did the attack. So they get him. He's obviously taken off. Then Jennifer, it turns out, so her throat is slashed, but he barely by millimeters missed her jugular.
Oh.
Which is this your jugular? That's a trachea.
I don't know, but it's a main thing. Like, she'd be gone. She missed
her jugular by millimeters. The stab wound to the right side of her face grazed the corner of her eye, but missed her eye. Damn. Just like we said, so she did not. And she does not look like she has any scarring.
No, she
so whoever
great.
her surgeon was, we got to find out because I didn't see any scars.
No, she was, looked great.
Yeah, she looked great. And so, yeah. So he missed the juggler in her apartment. Jennifer's blood was scattered all over the walls. And this, I mean, it was like blood everywhere. I mean, listen, I cut my one finger and I had a bloody mess. Can you imagine squirting out everywhere? And
well, and she was straining when she was trying to hold the door.
Oh. And
so that makes it come out even more.
Whenever she was in the bathroom holding the door, she, in order to help stop the bleeding, she did grab a toilet paper roll, like a roll of toilet paper, and held it against her throat to help at least absorb
pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that helped. Every time, you always want to do the most pressure, do a tourniquet, whatever. But yes, that's what she had. So there's blood on the walls, blood on the ceiling, and she was recovering in the hospital. And when she was recovering, she was visited by like all the emergency people and the first responders. And she said that police and the detectives who came to visit her were like, girl, you put up a hell of a fight.
Didn't want 911, Richard, come.
Just wait. You're going to cry. While employed by Pinkerton Security for the previous 3 years, this Gibson guy was constantly reassigned to different jobs after receiving complaints from clients. And instead of firing him, Pinkerton eventually assigned him to work nights at the apartment complex where Jennifer lived.
Sue.
Between 1991 and 1995, 130 Pinkerton guards were convicted of felonies in Texas alone.
What? That's why I've never heard of them.
The Pinkertons have a long and often bloody history in the U.S. dating back to 1850. The agency still exists today and recently made headlines in 2020 after a Pinkerton security guard shot and killed a man during a Patriot rally in Denver. Fun facts. So Brian Wayne Gibson was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 20 years in prison, which of course he's out now because, you know, I'm sure he only served like 2 days. And let me tell you a little bit about where Jennifer is now. So she returned to her apartment complex only to get her stuff and move out. So, and I don't know if I said this, but she was an attorney. Like at least she was getting her, if you're 25, are you already done with your law school? Anyway, she had her law degree. She was an attorney. She kind of hopped around from job to job, taking like temporary positions at different agencies that she was overqualified for, mainly because she just like, I mean, I guess if it's going to, I don't know what kind of attorney she was or what kind of lawyer, but it's said in the article is like, if you're a survivor of these violent crimes, it's going to maybe the trauma will resurface and it'll take you a while to get, back in the swing of, especially like being in law. I mean, you got to go and you revisit that type of stuff. But she did file a lawsuit against Pinkerton Security.
Sure, better.
And in 1998, she was awarded an undisclosed amount of money from the agency. That same year, she opened her own family practice in Fort Worth and met the man who would become her husband.
Richard, 911, Richard!
No. But long after the attack, and she ended up saying that Richard Everett and her are still good friends, and that, let's see, where's the one part? That he actually was in attendance for her wedding.
I was going to say, did he walk her down the aisle? Oh my goodness.
They're so good friends and he went to the wedding. And it says, quote, having instinct, intuition, and a big heart, Richard saved my life. And for that, he will always be one of the most important people that's ever impacted my life. And I was lucky enough that when I got married, he came to my wedding.
Oh.
So today she is Jennifer M. Caldwell and is an accomplished family law attorney in Fort Worth. And then there was an article that was from like 2013, 2015-ish. It said that she had gone around and she was speaking at schools, kind of just talking about like people that have had horrible things happen to them in life and how it's all about how you prepare. And she basically would just give this talk similar to the stuff that we talk about, which is like kind of being in a scenario where if this happens, then like try not to panic, be prepared. And if you're like, be prepared if something upsetting is going to happen, like know where your phone is, know where like flashlights are, know where you know, just kind of have things planned out a little bit. And so she just kind of would go and around and give talks about being prepared in a scary situation and how to survive.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she is alive and thriving and survived. Badass. And I cannot imagine like having your face bleeding off, basically. And then like being able to still have a conversation on the phone and like talk and do, you know, just like.
She had to have not looked in the mirror.
Oh,
because then she really would have.
Yeah.
Panicked.
Had blood coming in her eyeball from. Because
she could barely see out the people.
This is why I got to go get my blood pressure, because I was squirting blood out of my arm. And I don't know. I must have high blood pressure.
I have to say, we've listened to a ton of 911 calls, and they're usually women, and they're horrible. They're horrible. We always comment about how rude they are, how horrible they are.
The dispatch?
The 911 dispatcher. The dispatchers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're always horrible.
Yeah.
And then we get a man, and he wins the award.
He sounds like the nice. Yes.
He was the nicest. He was calm. He was patient. And he had intuition. Because
he's like, just
when you hear security, you think, oh, okay. But then he thought like a little bit. But he didn't just impulsively think, oh, okay, you can let them in. He thought like way beyond that. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I feel like
he coming back to kill her?
Yeah. I don't even know why he left. Like
he left for that reason. Because he knew she was going to call 911. He couldn't get in the door.
Why would he drag her in the bathroom, though? What was he trying to do? Why would he be like, you know? But I was thinking he was coming back to get all of his shit that he left there. He left his hat. He left his boxers. He left his knife. He left all of his stuff. Why did he drag her? Why do you think he dragged her? He was like, hey, go in the bathroom.
I think he was giving up. I think he was dragging her in the bathroom to put all this shit on so she can go and she wouldn't see him. Didn't he cut off the electricity after once he left?
Oh, I don't know. Because she had turned the lights off so it was dark. So maybe I don't know at what point he cut the electricity, but.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would, I don't know.
I don't know.
But either. He came back and he came back hard and Richard saved the day.
Wow.
911 Richard.
Love it, love it, love it.
Yep. There's your quick.
Love it, love it. Wow, Survivor, that is so much better than last week where we had no finish.
I know. And I was like, I'm not doing a kid. I'm not doing Unsolved because this is bullshit. So I'm going to do a survival.
That's probably the happiest story we could ever have in our line. Like in our realm.
Yeah. Yes, it is a survivor story. Yes.
A survivor and then somebody actually going to jail and paying for the crime. But remember, we never mentioned this, but remember your neighbors we randomly hung out with?
Oh, yeah.
And then the guy worked at the prison, the women's prison.
Yeah.
With Yolanda Saldivar in Gatesville. And his wife brought up something.
Yeah.
That I never even thought about. She talked about the police on the ground, police, the investigators, the police who actually like investigate and do the arrest. They get all the glory, right?
Yeah.
A crime gets committed. The police do the groundwork. They arrest them. And then there's the trial. And then that evil person gets sent to jail. But it's the prison workers that deal with it. Same evil person day in, day out. But not even just that one person, millions, thousands, hundreds of them, day in, day out. And they go home with that stress every day. And then they deal with that danger every single day. So anyways, I just randomly thought about that because I don't think about them.
Well, you don't think about them or even the, think about like, did you ever watch that show that was like, I don't know. It was a recent one. It's the 911 show. I don't know. I think it was just called 911.
911,
But, like, think about the call, all the calls that they get and like everything they have to deal with. And like they most likely don't always get a finished story or like know like, oh my God, what happened? Like, what happened?
Do
to
they
person?
Go and Google afterwards or do they pass by the, you know, I would be a driving mofo. I'd pass by the addresses that I get the calls on.
Yeah, you would be.
I almost applied for it when I was younger.
Can you do it for like a week and then tell me about it, or like a day?
I wonder if you could do it from home now. You probably can, but they probably don't get paid a lot. But yeah, 911 workers.
The good ones, not the shitty ones who don't give a shit, who hate their life. Like if you really like hate that, if you hate your job and that's what your job is, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to at least want to help people.
Yeah. It's not just a job.
Yeah.
Well. So. I mean, just think of how paranoid it makes them. Because if we're all paranoid and we just tell the stories, they hear it and see it.
And
you know
can
they're
you
paranoid.
In this situation, like this girl lives alone and it's the security guard who uses, I'm assuming he's using his keys to get into, I mean, if her door's locked. Which I don't know how he got in through the deadbolt, but that's another question for another day.
I mean, there's keys to a deadbolt.
I don't know. Or, I mean, the like a latch thing.
If it had a latch.
If it had a latch.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Because sometimes they have the double bolts. I don't know. Maybe this was 95, so maybe they just had like the little twisty, the little
never,
twisty in the knob.
That's why you never trust anybody, even this. Probably
even the security guards.
Probably especially. Wow, good story. Okay, we will see y'all next time. All new stories. And go ahead and head on to Patreon because you should have a new bonus episode on there. Don't forget to
stay aware.
Stay alive.
And always be down to fight.
Down to fight. Bye, y'all.
Bye.